1 Samuel chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 4 of the chapter. Of course, today is Mother's Day, and this is on our heart to preach on this subject, on mothers, especially a godly mother. There may not be a better ministry for a Christian than the ministry of a godly mother. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse 4, read with me through the chapter. He says, "And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." Notice this. "But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore." Notice verse 11. "And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Verse 15. "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." I want you to look at verse 19. "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." The Lord remembered her. I want to preach on this thought this morning on a godly mother. A godly mother. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you for the teaching that your word gives us. Lord, I thank you for the, Lord, counsel that your word gives us, and for the encouragement. Lord, I pray that it would touch the hearts of those who listen. Lord, I pray it would direct us unto Christ. Lord, I pray that it would lift up your name, that you'd be glorified. Lord, I pray for the mothers this morning. Lord, I pray if there's one not living as you'd have them to live, not teaching their kids as you'd have them to teach, not being that example, Lord, I pray that you'd show them the example of Hannah in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would help them to be on the right course, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for reading. My attention has been drawn especially this morning to verse number 11. When Hannah, this woman in the Bible, is praying for a son. You can gather from what we've read the context of what's going on. We're reading about a woman named Hannah. Her husband's name is Elkanah, and he does have two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And of course, we know that the Bible never once condones having more than one wife or one spouse, being in a polygamous relationship. The Bible doesn't condone that. The Bible clearly teaches one man and one woman for one lifetime, just as it does not condone divorce. But friend, we know that the people in Bible times, they failed just as people in our time now fail as well. And so this is what is going on here. A man named Elkanah has a wife by the name of Peninnah and a wife by the name of Hannah. Peninnah was able to have sons and daughters, but Hannah's womb was barren and it was shut up, and she was not able to have children. And this was a great distress to her, but what made it more of a distress to her was that the other wife had provoked her to anger and to bitterness by troubling her and really rubbing in her face what God had blessed her with her kids. And so Hannah here is praying and pleading with God that he would give her a son, somebody to raise up her heritage and to bless her with, as God tells us that children are an heritage from the Lord. And she says in verse 11 that if God would give her a child, that she would give her child unto the Lord all the days of his life. I think that this verse sums up more than any other verse in the Bible the key to being a mother, or a godly mother especially, and that is giving your children to the Lord. I want to preach for a few minutes on being a godly mother and giving your children to the Lord. Friend, I cannot speak about this subject from experience because I am no mother, nor do I plan on ever being a mother. Friend, I cannot speak from that perspective, and I don't ever want to speak as if I know more by experience than a mother, or tell you how to raise your children. I can't speak from that position, but what I can do is I can speak from what the Bible tells us about mothers, and I can also speak from what I have learned as a son from my mother and from my parents, and so I want to do that to the best of my ability this morning. As I've said, I believe Hannah here in 1 Samuel, she is, in my opinion, one of the most spiritual and devoted mothers inside the Word of God. Her name is Hannah. Friend, she was a very spiritual lady, and a lady who knew the Word of God and loved God. You may not know a whole lot about Hannah in the Bible, but you probably know a whole lot about her son. Her son was the man by the name of Samuel. He was the famous prophet of Israel. In fact, it is he whom this book is named after this morning, the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. That is Hannah's son that God gave her. It is amazing to me how that we don't know a whole lot about Hannah, but we know a whole lot about her son and his great achievements. We know that her son Samuel was the only man in history to hold the position of both prophet, priest, and judge all at one time. He achieved some things that nobody else has ever achieved. We know that it was her son Samuel that anointed the first king of Israel by the name of Saul. We know that it was her son Samuel that anointed the second king of Israel by the name of David. We all know Samuel is the one whom God said to him, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." This man was the son of Hannah. Samuel had his mother to thank for many of her pleading prayers to God for him and her willingness to give him to the Lord. I want you to think about this. Maybe this is the reason why I'm preaching this. Samuel the prophet made a greater impact upon the nation of Israel than we could probably ever understand or imagine. But I want you to understand that his mother Hannah made a greater impact on Samuel than probably anybody else in his life. So in other words, we may not know or hear a whole lot about the achievements of Hannah, but when you see the ministry of Samuel, what you're really seeing is the ministry of Hannah that she poured into her son, that he in turn poured into an entire nation. What I find in this story is the impact of being a godly mother to your children and to the next generation. You may never understand the impact that you make on the world by making an impact upon your children. I believe we're living in a day and age where the devil is trying his hardest to tear apart godly families and trying to tear apart the framework of our homes and trying to tear apart our marriages and trying to tear down our roles as fathers and as mothers and is trying to rip apart the very fabric of our culture today. Friend, I want you to understand that the very nucleus of our society is the home. Even our churches today are made up of individual homes with individual mothers and individual fathers. And the devil wants to tear apart the godly home as we know it. Friend, the devil wants to make our fathers into deadbeat dads. Is that right or is that wrong? And can I say the devil's done pretty good in our generation of raising up some deadbeat, no good dads. Is everybody okay with that? That's what he's done. What I'm afraid that now that the devil has done his best at wrecking the role of a father, I think the devil is really focusing now on wrecking the role of a mother inside the home. The devil doesn't just want deadbeat dads. He wants distant, cold, and unconcerned moms. Ultimately, God wants, or the devil wants some mom and dads that aren't going to tell their kids about God, that aren't going to raise them up in the fear of the Lord. Friend, we must realize that the greatest impact we can have upon our churches and our nation is going to be the impact that fathers and mothers are going to make upon their kids. Friend, I want you to understand this. We realize by God's word that being a mom or a dad is not just something that happens to you. Oh, we have kids now. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I want you to understand on the authority of God's word that being a mom or dad is not just something that happens, but it is a calling in your life. It is a calling that you must accept. It's one thing just to be a parent. It's another thing to purpose to raise up your kids to live for God. Friend, I want you to understand that being a godly parent is as high of a calling as the calling to preach the Word of God or pastor a church. God has put a call upon my life to pastor the members of this church at Emory Heights Baptist Church, and I must do my best to teach and preach God's Word. But I want you to understand that it is your job as a parent to do with your kids as I can't do with them. Brother Ronnie deals with our youth and many others in our church, but friend, there are things that only you have the ability to teach your kids about God and instill it in them. Friend, Samuel made a great impact upon Israel, but his mother was the one who made a great impact upon him. What good does it do me to preach to your kids if you do not preach to them at home? What good does it do me to tell them how to live for Christ if you do not live for Christ in your home as an example to them? Well, I guess what I'm saying is that our nation needs some godly homes and godly fathers and some godly mothers. And can I say thank you to the mothers that have chosen to teach your kids about Christ and be a godly mother. Friend, the mother is the one who makes perhaps the greatest impact in their home. I want you to notice some things that Hannah did to make an impact upon her son that made an impact upon her nation. And I don't know that this list of things is so much of things that she did, but who she was. I'm not sure that parenting is so much, and I don't know, I'm not a parent, but in my observation, I'm not so sure that parenting is so much about things that you do as a checklist, but who you are for your kids. I think parents would agree with me on that. What made Hannah who she was as a godly mother? I want you to notice, number one, simple things I want to share with you, and we'll be done. I want you to notice, number one, that Hannah was a prayerful mother. If you want to know if you have a godly mother, you'll have a prayerful mother. You want to know, am I a godly mother? Or am I godly, period, mother or not? How's your prayer life? I can recognize in this passage that this is a godly woman and a godly mother because of the prayer life that is recorded for us. I want you to notice some things about her prayer life. Can I say this? I want you to notice that Hannah did not just pray after she was a mom, but she prayed before she was ever a mother. She had a prayer life. Can I say this morning? There is probably not a greater tool or a greater weapon or a greater thing in the arsenal of a mother than to have the tool of a good prayer life. There is nothing better you can do for your kids than to pray for them. Yeah, you can teach them, you can discipline them, you can disciple them, you can love on them, you can take care of them, you can give them good things, you can give them switchings, but there is nothing better that you can do for your kids than to pray for them. Friend, you may not be a parent right now, but can I ask you a question? What makes you think that you are going to have a good prayer life as a parent if you don't have a good prayer life right now? What makes you think that you're going to be a godly mother one day if you're not a godly woman right now? Or a godly man right now? Friend, I want you to understand that Hannah was a mom of prayer, but she had a prayer life long before she ever was a mother. I guess if I can encourage the young women watching today, friend, you need to be a godly woman right now and a godly wife right now and have a prayer life right now, because you're not going to just change things around whenever you have kids. That's not how it works. Friend, we must serve God now. I want you to notice with me the two prayers that Hannah prayed in our Bible. In verse number 10 through verse 12 of this chapter, I want you to notice that Hannah prayed a prayer of bitterness. She prayed a prayer of bitterness, and she prayed a prayer of petition to God, asking Him to give her a son. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, she prayed a second prayer. She not only prayed a prayer of bitterness, but she prayed a prayer of bliss, gladness. In 1 Samuel 1, she prayed a prayer of petition. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, she prayed a prayer of praise. I want you to understand that we are given two examples of prayer in the life of Hannah. In one instance, she is praying during the worst time of her life, and in one instance, she is praying during the best time of her life. In one instance, she is weeping and asking God to help her, and in one instance, she is praying, rejoicing that God has heard her and that God has answered her. A friend, Hannah was a woman that prayed and understood that the best thing she could do in her life and for her child was pray for him. She was a mother that learned to pray to God through every hill and valley, through every emotion, and through every trial and every triumph. Notice her first prayer was a prayer of bitterness. It was a prayer of her emotion and her feelings. Friend, can I say this? There is something special that God's given to mothers that He has not given to fathers, in the fact that He has given an emotional side to women and to mothers that men just don't have. We live in a feministic culture that wants to make men like women and women like men and try to say that we're the same, when the truth is that we're not the same. We're equal, but we're not the same. You know, a sledgehammer and a porcelain cup may have the same value, but they're not the same. One's made to hit things with, and one is made with care, and one is fragile, but they're the same value. God made men and women different for a reason. Doesn't make women less valuable than men just because they may not be as strong as men. And He's given mothers especially an emotional side that fathers, frankly, don't have. Although we are all emotional, but there is a side to a mother in her home that the father doesn't have for his kids. Kids need both, but friend, the father is the head of the home, but the mother is the heart of the home. The father, in many ways, is the disciplinary. He is the head figure of the home. But many times the father falls short in areas of emotion and nurturing. And this is found mostly in the mother. To be told, the emotional and mental burdens that come in families from problems, from wayward children, these problems and emotional burdens tend to weigh more heavily on the mother than on anyone else in the family. And you mothers know what I'm talking about. You know the truth, that whenever problems arise in your home and with your kids, that you carry a weight of emotional burden and mental burden than anybody else in your home. And friend, the mother does that not because she is the weakest in her home, but because she is the heart of her home. And God has given that to women. He's given that ministry of a mother to a woman that nobody else has. That is a special calling. I want you to look with me in verse number 5. It says in verse 5 that Hannah, the Lord had shut up her womb. Imagine how that made her feel right there. Look in verse 6. Her adversary, that's Peninnah, also provoked her. Notice these words of feeling. She was provoked sore. Because not only she was provoked sore, but for to make her fret. Have you ever, as a mother, been provoked? Have you ever been made to fret? Verse number 7. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. As a mother, have you ever been to a place where you were so burdened that you wept and did not eat? I think every single mother has been through that. I want you to look with me in verse number 11 of this chapter. Excuse me, verse 10. And she was in what? Bitterness of soul. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Have you ever, as a mother, have you ever been in bitterness of soul? Look in verse 11. She said, look on the affliction of thine handmaid. She was not only grieved and wept and in bitterness of soul, but she was afflicted. Look in verse 15. She said, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. There's another description. Look in verse 16. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Notice all the descriptions of this mother's grief. I want you to understand that perhaps every single mother will at one point or another plunge into the depths of these emotions for whatever reason it may be. But I want you to understand that it is a godly mother that does what not just any mother does. What's the difference between a mother and a godly mother? Every mother has these emotional distresses and these burdens, but a godly mother is one that knows and understands the importance of taking these things and making them known to God and pouring them out to God. The difference between a mother and a godly mother is taking your problems to the Lord and letting Him help you through them instead of turning to other things to help you. Instead of leaving behind your kids or giving up, that is the difference between a mother and a godly mother. This was a woman who understood the need for prayer. You know why? Because nobody was going to help her but God. This other wife, she certainly wasn't going to help her. She was the one provoking her. There was no help from any woman in her life. Doesn't tell us of a mom in her life. Maybe her mom wasn't around or alive to help her. There's no help from them. What about her own husband? Isn't the husband supposed to protect her and help her? You know what her husband told her? He was typical husband. He said in verse 8, why is thy heart grieved? I don't know. He said, am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Isn't that a typical man thing to say? All you wives are looking at your husbands right now because he said something stupid like that before, ain't he? I mean, you got me. Why are you worried about your kids? You got me. And you wives are saying, yeah, you are my first child. You're right about that. I mean, not to be rude or anything, but what a stupid thing to say of him. And I confess, I've said stupid things like that too. Looking for help from her own husband, and he has nothing for her. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? I mean, I can't help you there. And she doesn't even say anything back to him. She just leaves. Maybe the priest could help her. Eli, he was the one sitting there at the tabernacle. She was coming to pray, and Eli didn't pray with her. He said, "Are you drunk?" He didn't understand. She was weeping and praying. There was nobody that understood her. And yet Hannah knew that God understood everything that she needed and she wanted and desired in her life for him. Friend, we need some godly mothers, and we need some mothers that are going to pray. Pray before you ever have kids. Pray while you got kids. Pray after that you have kids. You know what I learned in this story? That God remembers a praying mother. She prayed in verse 11 for God to remember me. And in verse number 19, it says that the Lord did just that. He remembered her. A mother that prays is a mother that God will remember. Do we have some prayerful mothers in our churches? Can you honestly say, "I'm a prayerful mother"? A prayerful father, for that matter. I want you to notice number two about this godly mother, Hannah. She not only was a prayerful woman, but number two, she was a woman that had a knowledge of the Word of God. We need some women and some mothers that have a knowledge of God's Word to pass down to their kids. Can I say that learning God's Word is not just for pastors? You should not be leaving it up to me to do all the studying to tell you what God says. That's why God gave you a Bible. And I'm afraid that in our churches and culture that many times we see learning and having a Bible knowledge as something to be left up to the men and the fathers and the men of the church, when in reality, women ought to have as much knowledge of the Word of God as men do. The office of a preacher is to be held by a man, the Bible says. Women ought not to teach over men, the Bible says. But that's not an excuse for women not to know the Bible and to teach it to their children and to other women. Hannah did not have the entire Bible like we have today. But what Bible Hannah did have, I can tell that she knew it. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. When Hannah was blessed with a child and she prayed, she was literally praying the Word of God back to God. She took God's Word in her heart and she prayed it back to God. She understood who God was and the ways of God and the works of God. And you can read down through chapter 2. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." You can see there is a spiritual depth to the prayer of this woman. She is praying with a knowledge of God's Word. Verse 6, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." In verse 9, "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail." She is praying with a knowledge of God's Word. Can I say this? As I've said, we live in a feministic day. And by the way, this feministic age that we live in really isn't doing any good for women. It's trying to make women like men. Now, you want women to be somebody that they're not. How is that good for women? We live in a day where there is, and I'll just say this, this may upset a lot of people. I'm sorry if it does, but this is a Bible issue. We have 40% of our churches today have women pastoring them. The Bible clearly teaches that this is against God's order in the church. And maybe women have a problem with, why would God allow men to preach and not women? Let me say this, especially to you mothers. God has given the office of preacher and pastor to men only. But God has given a position to mothers for mothers only and women only that the men don't have. And there is a place in your life that you are called to be the preacher of your home and the teacher of your kids in a way that even any man and father cannot be. Can I say thank God for my parents that have taught me God's word? My father, Billy Schaefer, has done much to teach me God's word growing up. But can I say that as a young boy, my mother taught me a whole lot more about the Bible than my father did. And that's not because my father didn't know it. But for many years, while my father was off at work, waking up before us kids wherever awake, it was my mother who sat us down on the couch and read us through the book of Proverbs, I don't know how many times, and read us through the book of Genesis, I remember explicitly, and reading us through the Bible and writing down prayer requests and making us pray and teaching us how to pray. I remember many mornings waking up and she would read on purpose from Proverbs 6 on go to the ant, thy sluggard, and be not lazy and work like the ant. Friend, what I'm saying is there is a place for the mother that nobody else can have that God's given you to fulfill. And you must have a knowledge of God's word if you're going to teach your kids about God. You must know these things. Hannah was a godly mother, and she had a knowledge and a wisdom about God, and this is shown in her prayer life to him. I remember many of these things that have benefited me now from my mother, and many of you remember this from your mother. I want you to notice number three. Not only do we have a godly mother that had a prayer life, had a knowledge of God's word, but number three, what makes a godly mother? Number three, she loved God more than her children. This is something we lose sight of today. Mothers, fathers, all alike. We have an instinct, I think, as I've said, I'm not a parent, I'm a child, though. I have parents. I think we have an instinct in our culture. We want our kids to have it better than we had it. And that's not bad. We don't want them to be raised in the poverty that we had or do without things that we had to do with that. We want them to have things that we couldn't have, and that's great. But I'm afraid in our culture, we've been taught to love our kids more than anything. And in reality, we should not be loving our kids more than we love God. I want you to understand that if you love your kids more than you love God, you are doing them a disservice because you're not loving them as much as you can. To love God more than them will allow you to love them more than you do now. Because it's God who teaches us how to love to begin with. And can I say to you, mothers who love God more than your kids, thank you. This woman promised God that if he gave her a child, she would give him back. Not just for a short time, not just on Sundays, but his entire life she would give her son back to God. She made sure that when God gave her a son, she kept her end of the promise. She loved the giver more than the gift. She loved the creator more than the creation. Friend, don't forget to love God more than you love your kids. He's the one who gave you them kids to begin with. He's the one who will save them kids from hell, not you. He's the one who will give those kids joy. Not you. When nobody else can help them, God will be the one. A godly mother, a godly father loves their kids more than their children. She vowed a vow. She made a dedication to God. She said, in other words, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Can you honestly say that as long as your child is in your home, you give him to God? You don't give him necessarily to school. You don't give him necessarily to college. You don't give him necessarily to friends or sports. You give him to God. He's God's. I dedicate him to God, or my daughter to God. Notice number four. I love this. What's a godly mother? A mother with a prayer life, a mother with a knowledge of God's word, a mother that loves God more than her children. Number four, a mother that makes sure her child is in God's house. Look with me in verse 22. There's three blessed words here in verse 22. But Hannah went not up. They were going up for the yearly sacrifice. And Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, until he's old enough to go. And then, notice these four blessed words, I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Have those four blessed words been said in your heart as a mother or a father? I will bring him. I will bring them. I will bring her. I am going with all of my power to strive to bring my kids to God's house. Friend, that is so, so important for a godly mother and a godly father. And can I say this? She didn't ask if her son felt like going. She didn't even wait till he was old enough to decide. She took him to God's house because that was what God told her to do. Friend, can I say, it is not your child's choice to go to church or not. It is your choice to take them to church, whether they like it or not. Friend, they ought to be taken. Some people in the world might say, that is brainwashing your child. Friend, my goal is not to brainwash children, but to blood wash them in the blood of the Lamb. Friend, we have no problem taking our kids to school for 7 days a week and letting the world brainwash them in ideologies of evolution and other such things. But friend, why should we feel bad for taking our kids to church 3 times a week and telling them about the love of our God who has died for us? The standard goes both ways, don't it? Friend, that's not brainwashing your kids. That's the best thing you can do for your kids is to take them to God's house. You don't ask your kids if they feel like taking a bath or if they feel like brushing their teeth or if they feel like going to school. Why would it be any different with taking them to God's house? Hannah said, I'll bring him. I will bring him. And I understand there's times when we can't, just like now. I understand you may have a husband who doesn't love God and makes that hard to go to church yourself or take your kids, but this was a woman that determined, I will bring him. Notice with me number 5, we'll be done. What's a godly mother? A prayerful mother. A mother with a knowledge of God's word. A mother that loves God more than her children. A mother that will bring her kids to God's house. And lastly, a mother that will make little coats of encouragement for her child. Look with me in verse number 19. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 19. I love this part. She's already brought the boy to stay at the temple, at the tabernacle. She literally left him there to be trained from a child up to his manhood by the priest, to be trained in the things of God. That was her promise. But she didn't leave him there all by himself. Oh, she'd come to visit him. And it tells us that every time she came, she made a little coat for him. Verse 19, it says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him, notice, from year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, you know what I find? That it may be one of the most blessed ministries of a mother is to make little coats of encouragement for her children. I want to preach a message someday on just that, little coats of encouragement. How excited Samuel must have been every year, knowing when his mom and dad would come, and he'd have that little coat prepared for him every year as he grew bigger. She'd make him a different color, a different size, a different style, and bring that to him to lift his spirits and let him know your mom and dad are proud of you and are excited for you and praying for you. And we're with you. Even when we can't be with you, we're with you in spirit. And we want to see you serve God. You know what that was? She was bringing him love and support and encouragement in her own way. Here is a godly mother raising a godly son in the midst of a perverse and a wicked nation and a wicked generation. Friend, when's the last time that you as a father or mother brought some little coats of encouragement to your kids and said, we're proud of you for loving God and we want you to love him and know that he loves you? I want you to look at the results of her motherhood. As I've said, godly mother raises a godly son in the midst of an ungodly generation. I want you to notice how God contrasts the parenting of Hannah to the parenting of the high priest, Eli. We read about Eli earlier. Eli was the guy sitting there while she was praying. But we read about Eli's sons in comparison to Samuel. We know that Hannah prayed. Hannah taught Samuel God's word. Hannah gave Samuel to God. But Eli, even though he was a priest, and even though he was the high priest, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and he loved them more than he loved God, and he did not train them up, and they ended up a lot different. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. Before Hannah ever had a son, we read of Eli's sons. It says, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. So we're introduced to Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and we're introduced to Hannah's son, Samuel. I want you to notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. Turn with me. 1 Samuel 2, verse 11. What does it say? And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child, Samuel, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. This is after Samuel's been born. He's growing up. He's in the household of the priest. And what is Samuel doing? He's ministering to God. Now look at the contrast in the next verse. Look in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, the sons of the devil, and they knew not the Lord. You see a contrast? Samuel, ministering to God in the priest's office. Hophni and Phinehas, they're sons of the devil, and they do not know God. Look in verse 17. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2. In verse 17, what does it say? Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. That's Hophni and Phinehas. Their sin is very great before God. Now look in the next verse. But, what a great word. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. What an impact your children can make for God, even when they're still children, before they even reach the age of adulthood, if you'll only pour into them. Samuel ministered. There's a contrast. Look in verse number 21. Look in verse 21. It says, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. She had more children. What does it say? The child, Samuel, grew before the Lord. There he is growing again. Now look in the next verse. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Here we have another contrast. Wicked generation doing wicked things, and all the while little Samuel is just growing up in stature before the Lord. I want you to look there. In verse number 29, he said, God is now speaking to Eli. He said, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Hannah put God above her son, but Eli put his sons above God. Look in verse 25. He says in verse number 25 that notwithstanding they, his sons, hearkened not unto the voice of their father. We could keep going down through this list. Look in verse 26. After it says they hearkened not unto their father, it says, and the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. We can go down through the list here. What is God doing? God is setting in contrast ungodly parenting to godly parenting. He is showing a godly child in comparison to ungodly children. You know what I love about Samuel? He was sort of oblivious, I think, to everything going on. These two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they were running around in all sorts of trouble like most of the kids are today. And Samuel didn't really know what to think of them. Maybe he didn't even know about it. He was just doing his own thing, being raised by his godly parents and growing up in the stature of the Lord. What a great thing. And then he grew up to be one of the greatest prophets Israel ever had. Doubtless, Israel probably never heard much about Hannah, but they knew a whole lot about Samuel. Friend, the impact that you can make on the world through your kids is unlimited if you'll give them to God. What a reward. I remember reading, and I can't remember it exactly, the story. I remember reading of a dear older lady that loved the Lord. The preacher, her pastor, was visiting her. She was about to die, and she said, "I just feel, Pastor, that I've just not done much for God in my days. I've not given Him much." He said, "Well, what do you say that for?" She said, "It seems like all I've done is stay around the house, raise my kids, and I sweep, I clean, and I do dishes, and I keep my house up. I feel that's all I've done." And he said, "Tell me about your boys." And she began to tell him, this is a true story, she told him of her four boys. She'd named them after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every single one of them had grown up to be a missionary. Africa, Indonesia. The last one, he told her, he said, "I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to join my brother in Africa, but I won't go until you pass away. I'll keep you and then I'll go." She began to tell the pastor about this, and he said, "And to think that all you've been doing is sweeping floors and washing dishes. I think your reward in heaven will be much more than that." Friend, I think that's true today for a godly mother. Don't underestimate what God has for you as a mother. You say, "Revis, I've raised my kids right, and they didn't turn out like Samuel." Friend, first of all, understand that everybody has a free will. Your kids will do what they want to do ultimately. But if you've done what God has told you to do as a mother, there is a great reward in that. And I still hold to the proverb that says, "Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Maybe not every child gets saved. Not every one of them obey. But I can tell you this, there's a whole lot greater possibility of them obeying God than if you don't teach them at all. You have a zero possibility of it then if you don't do anything. So I encourage you mothers that are in the process right now to keep going. Rededicate yourself and your kids to God and don't give up. You mothers that have already raised your kids, we thank you for being a godly mother. Those of you that aren't mothers yet, I encourage you to prepare right now for that. I trust that you'll have a happy Mother's Day. Our next generation needs so badly some parents that will rise up and tell them. That is your job. Psalms chapter 78 and verse number 5 says that God gave a testimony in Israel and established a law in Jacob. And it says that He made them known unto our fathers that they might tell them to the generation to come. You better have a testimony to pass down to your kids. And you better take His law and pass it down. Those are two things God's given to you to give to your kids. Would you do that today? Let's close in prayer. We'll pray you can be dismissed. I pray you have a great day with your family. But please remember the responsibility that we have. We look forward to seeing you in God's house tonight by way of the internet, 6 o'clock. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come before you in prayer. Lord, I pray that this message has been a help to somebody out there, an encouragement if they need it, an exhortation if they need it. Challenge our hearts. Bless those that are with sickness right now. God, help them. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. Thank you.